The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast with your host, Jackie Pilosoff.
No one should have to go through a divorce feeling alone and isolated. The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast is a production of Divorced Girl Smiling, where every show is 30 minutes aimed to empower you, help you feel validated and understood, and connect you with some of the best divorce professionals in the industry. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and start smiling as you join us right now for the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. Heard everywhere podcasts can be found and always at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Before we get started, I want to take a minute to talk about my newest Divorced Girl Smiling trusted professional. His name is Dr. Mort Orman, and Mort is an internal medicine physician, and he's also a leading stress and anger elimination expert. He's written 23 books on eliminating anger and stress and has 40 years of clinical success teaching people how to live, love, and work stress-free. And Mort has a new program out called Angry No More. It's a 10-session anger elimination program. And I am so excited about this because if you are getting divorced and you have unresolved anger, this is a wonderful tool. So if you want to learn more, you can find Mort, Dr. Orman, in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girl Smiling. I also want to talk about financial advisor Joanne Littman. So I have known Joanne for probably 6 or 7 years. She's a divorced mom. She's a financial advisor with a focus on working with people who are divorced or getting divorced. And Jo's mission is to make financial services and advice accessible to all in ways that make people feel comfortable and supported. So if you want to learn more about Joanne, you can find her in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girl Smiling. So anyone listening, probably if you've listened to my other podcasts, knows that I'm a huge proponent of mediation. I think it is the best way to get divorced. It's gotten so popular because people are realizing that not only do you get divorced quicker and you get divorced less expensively, but the biggest thing is that you learn how to communicate with your ex and you have a good co-parenting relationship and you just have a good relationship in general, much better if you can agree. But we all know that that is not always possible. And in some situations, couples have to go to court and litigate their divorce. And when you go to court, a judge will come up with different orders that you have to stick to. So for example, you know, maybe an order is the child custody schedule or holidays or the child support amount. And that works a lot of times, but sometimes people don't stick to the court order. So this whole podcast is going to be dedicated to what happens when my ex isn't sticking to the court order. What do you do? And to talk about this with me is divorce attorney Liz Felt-Wakeman. She is a divorce attorney for her firm, Wakeman Law Group. So hi, Liz.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for having me today.
So nice to have you, Liz. And I want my listeners to know, Liz and I met in 2013 when I had my Divorce Girl Smiling launch party. And that's so funny that you were there, Liz. And then we ended up reconnecting. And Liz is now a Divorce Girl Smiling trusted professional. She's been a divorce attorney since 2007, but she's been an attorney for 30 years. And Liz is also a certified mediator. So Liz, did you agree with me that you see clients sometimes they have to get these court orders because they're not mediating? Or maybe they are mediating and they're going to have some court orders until they can figure that out. And then you get a call from one of your clients, you know what, my ex isn't sticking to the court order. Does that happen a lot? Or
it happens all the time.
Tell me some of the reasons why somebody might not stick to the order.
Well, In a perfect world, it's because they're getting along so well. I always tell people that if you can put your allocation judgment for parenting time away in a drawer and never look at it again, that's a wonderful thing. And I have clients who can do that. So that's one reason. So they're getting along, so they just sort of let it go. But then at a certain point, letting it go gets to be really sloppy and unpredictable and difficult for the kids to know where they're going and things like that.
Well, you have a great point, because people might just get comfortable and start taking advantage because it's so friendly. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Exactly. Or there's also the dynamic where there's always one person in the marriage who's more dominant than the other. So that often happens in the divorce as well. So the more dominant party starts to just do as they please. And the other party will say, well, we have the peace. We're not having big fights right now. So I'll just let this go. So it can be for both alternatives.
The person may be like a bully, I guess, is what you're saying, you know,
right.
But I would think underlying the bully, there are some underlying issues to the bully. Like maybe they're angry and this is their passive aggressive way to show it to their spouse. Like, well, I'm just going to kind of screw with her and not pay 1 month and see what happens. It's almost like passive aggressive.
It also might just be how the relationship has always worked with one person being in command. It doesn't have to rise to the level of bullying. It can just be the dynamic of who's the more powerful influence in the relationship.
And Liz, don't you feel like it's sort of a way also for somebody to be controlling? Like maybe the person feels really insecure about the divorce. And so his or her way to deal with it is to just mess with you. Or just say, you know what, I'm in control. I'm not going to pay when I want to pay. And if I'm 2 days late, she's just going to have to deal with it. Like that's kind of what they're saying to themselves, maybe.
Absolutely, there's that. And there's also, this is more difficult to understand and to navigate, that some person is always playing the victim. And this
right.
can be both genders.
Mm-hmm.
That someone is going to be the victim, so they sort of get comfortable in the role where they're not getting what they want.
Okay. And when you say play the victim, great point, because maybe they're unhappy with the amount they have to pay. And so they're saying, you know what, I'm taking this huge chunk out of my paycheck every month and I'm not happy about this. So you know what, I'm just not going to pay, because they're angry or they're feeling worried financially or they're unhappy with their own life. I mean, there's so many reasons why somebody would just not follow an order.
And then going back to the bullying part, some people will just not follow it just to frustrate the other person and push their buttons to see, well, what
right.
are you going to do about it?
Like I said, they just want to screw with them because there could be so many reasons. And Liz, I'm sure you're going to agree with me. Divorce is so emotional that people do these things purely out of emotion. Even somebody who the child support check means nothing to them. They can afford it. They could afford four times as much, but they're just so angry and they have all these other emotions going on. And that's why they don't pay. I always say child support is so emotional. It has nothing to do with the money in many cases.
Right. And that's how we became reconnected, was I kind of launched from your article about child support and why people are so emotionally connected to it. And I added a few things onto because I totally agreed with you, of course. What you wrote in that and what you just said is exactly correct. And then there are some cases where somebody really doesn't comply with the order because they don't have the money.
If you're listening to this and you feel like your ex isn't sticking to a court order, which could include child support, you have options. So Liz, in your article that you wrote for Divorce Girl Smiling, you wrote a few options that somebody has. So I would think right away someone would say, well, I'm just going to call my attorney. And that's true. That's an option. But Liz didn't put that first. And I love this about you, Liz, because you're not all about call me, because that just means billing and money. So Liz came up with these other options. And you might have to call your attorney, but try this first. So the first option you came up with is talk to your ex.
Absolutely. That should always be the first approach, because that might give you a legitimate opinion and basis and observation about what's going on. And if in that conversation, your ex says, well, I'm short of money this month, I'm changing my job roles, or I didn't get a bonus, then maybe you can hold off on rushing off to court. knowing that at some point they will be required to pay. But if you give them a little bit of time, that might solve the problem. But if you get the response that you feel like that's not believable, or you get, what are you going to do about it? Then you call the attorney or you go to mediation.
I love this because you're right, Liz. When somebody says, listen, I lost my job. I think I'm going to have a new job in 2 weeks. Please be patient with me. Well, first of all, your ex should have come to you and told you that before it was time and he missed the payment. He or she missed the payment.
But sometimes they don't do that because they're ashamed.
Yeah. But, and great point. But if they come to you and say that, what I would recommend, I think you're going to agree with me, Liz, is that you have to weigh it in your mind. If you feel your ex is genuine and you're going to lose out on a few hundred dollars, is it really worth it to go back to court and spend a couple thousand to open up all these cans of worms and spend all this money on your attorney and in court? So I love that. Talk to your ex. Now, as Liz said, if they go, oh, what are you going to do about it? What? Oh, you're going to take me back to court? Well, then we move on to more options.
Well, in that first step of talking to your ex eliminates a bunch of the reasons that we just talked about, like because you think they think you won't do anything about it. Well, if you bring it to their attention, then they kind of know you will do something about it. And that's where I offer something to my clients that I have a relationship with. If they're not doing something and you've talked to them and you're not satisfied, call me and tell me, because then I'll tell you if it's like, maybe I send a letter and I don't even charge for that letter. I'll send a letter and say, hey, you missed this payment. So we can avoid litigation. Can you get that payment paid?
You don't even charge for that. You might be the only divorce attorney I know that doesn't, but that's so
wonderful. I don't charge for simple things
that
will avoid court. I don't. I mean, I'm not going to charge for an hour, but if I have just some sending a quick email to the other person to say, just get this paid, because then they know that it is being taken seriously. And that sometimes, very often, just solves the problem.
You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm here today with divorce attorney Liz Felt-Wakeman. Liz and I are talking about your options when your ex is not sticking to a court order. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to get into some other options you have if you try talking to your ex and they say, oh, you know, so, you know, take me to court or whatever, and you just feel like it's hopeless. We're going to give you some other options. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Divorce is a terribly stressful and expensive process, especially when litigated. So if you have children, a bad divorce can affect them for the rest of their lives. Those are the words of divorce mediator Michael Cohen, who actually became a divorce mediator so he could help families divorce more amicably and in a healthier way for themselves and their children. Michael is wonderful. He is smart, he's experienced, he's compassionate, and really, really dedicated to helping people going through a divorce. If you want to learn more about Michael, you can find him at michaelsmediation.com. I also want to mention one of my newest Divorce Girl Smiling trusted professionals. Her name is Carolyn Euler, and Carolyn is a real estate agent with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services in Jacksonville, Florida, and she also services St. Augustine. And Carolyn has been a real estate agent since 2004. She's always been people-focused, but in the last few years, she decided to become a CDRE, a Certified Divorce Real Estate Expert. She is so committed to helping people going through a divorce sell a house, buy a house, both, whatever you need. And I am so excited to have her as a Divorce Girl Smiling trusted professional. So if you want to learn more about Carolyn, you can find her at CarolynEulerRealtor.com, and you can find both Carolyn and Michael in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girl Smiling. Welcome back to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. Today, we are talking about what happens and what do you do when your ex is not sticking to a court order. My guest today is divorce attorney Liz Felt-Wakeman. Liz has been an attorney for 30 years. She's been a divorce attorney since 2007. She's based in Crystal Lake and serves Chicago and all those communities around there. And so, Liz, we were talking about you talk to your ex. Do you have any advice for the listeners of how to approach your ex? Like, what's the best way? What do you say? Do you call him or her on the phone and just say, hey, and then what do you say?
I would suggest a phone call unless you're required to use one of the parenting apps. And then I would send it in the parenting app. And then when you send it in the parenting app, we have a clear record of you making a request, because one of the requirements for finding of contempt later on is that you've made a request. And I would suggest the approach of cooperative and collaborative and conciliatory, and not be calling the person names or swearing and yelling at them, but just making it a friendly request. You know, hey, what's going on? I need to get this paid.
Okay. Now, do you suggest that people keep a journal? Like, let's say you call your ex and you've left three messages and he's not calling you back. Do you...
Yep.
So, write it all down, because then what you're saying is if this goes to court, you can then say, so-and-so tried to call her ex on this date, and this day, left three messages, right? Am I?
Absolutely. And that's why I love the parenting apps, because then they keep the journal for you. You send your message and it's documented.
I love that. You're right. Okay. If I don't mention our family wizard, I wouldn't be doing my job. So I want to tell the listeners that we are big fans of Our Family Wizard, which is a parenting app designed to do so many things. And one of them is what Liz was just talking about. There's so many wonderful records kept, so that just in case you have to go back to court, you have proof. So it's ourfamilywizard.com. Okay, moving on. So let's say it doesn't work talking to your ex. The next step you said was ask your ex if he or she will go to mediation.
That is particularly important and often required if there's a parenting issue regarding or a decision-making issue about whether the child will have vaccinations or see a particular doctor or change doctors, or if there's a dispute about parenting time. I don't usually recommend mediation so much for the financial issues at this point, other than I would recommend working with your attorney to have the attorney try and negotiate and navigate, because mediation can happen with attorneys too. And actually, I think it's very successful when mediation happens with attorneys, but in family law, we don't generally do that.
Okay. So you can say to your ex, look, should we go mediate this, or maybe have our lawyers talk about a better alternative that is going to make both of us stick to the agreement? And I say both of us because that kind of lets the defenses down, and then the person doesn't feel like they're being picked on or judged, even though they deserve it.
I always recommend that the conversation be about both sides.
Mm-hmm.
What applies to one should apply to the other.
All right. So you're saying that you could ask your ex to go to mediation, but really not for the financial piece, and instead have your attorneys talk to each other, maybe send a letter or something like that.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Moving on to number three, your last resort, call your attorney. Well, that's not your last resort. Your last resort is coming up, but next step, if you're not getting anywhere, talking to him or her or suggesting mediation, then call your attorney.
Exactly. And the benefit of post-decree court is that if the other side is found to be in contempt, if their conduct has been found to be without compelling cause or justification, then they will be required to pay your attorney's fees. So very often, just the filing of a petition for contempt, which is also, it's called indirect civil contempt or contempt of court or for a rule to show cause, whatever the title is, it's the same thing. And just the filing of that often does result in compliance.
Now, in your experience, do you see a lot of cases where attorney's fees are paid?
Yes.
You do?
Especially with contempt, yes.
Go ahead.
It's not always the full amount, but it's very often the part that the attorney can clearly document as being related to the contempt issue. And that's why you really want to present the contempt issue without any other issues, so it's clear what the attorney's fees are related to.
All right, moving on to your last and final step, if nothing else is working. You go back to court. Now, are we talking like they call you, Liz, and you go back to court, or do you go back? Can you go back to court yourself?
You can go back to court yourself, but there are still some complicated evidentiary issues. So you're going to fare better if you have an attorney. And even the best is the attorney who helped you with your divorce or your parentage case, because they know the story and they don't have to relearn all of the details and dynamics of it. So if you still have a relationship with that attorney, they'd be the person I'd suggest you contact first.
So once you decide you're going to go back to court, walk me through that process of how that goes.
So the petition for contempt is filed that outlines exactly what your ex has failed to do. And then that gets noticed up for a particular court date. On that court date, they or their attorney would appear and say they need some time to respond. And then they'd be given that time, and then a hearing date would be set. If it is there's an allegation that they don't have the money, there might be some discovery in between where a guy would issue a subpoena for the bank records to see, okay, you say you're not paying child support because you have no money, but you're going out for dinner and you took a vacation, you're buying cigarettes and alcohol. Buying cigarettes and alcohol are the worst things that your ex could be doing if they're not paying child support.
And a judge will look at this, even
absolutely.
If you can go in and say, look, there was this amount spent on gambling at a casino, booze, cigarettes.
Absolutely. Now, sometimes I will elect not to issue that subpoena because I don't want to give the respondent the information that they need to present their case for why they don't have money. Because in a contempt proceeding regarding money, if the person who was alleged to be in contempt comes forward and shows bank statements where they have no money coming in and they're only spending money on rent, gas, and food, they're probably not going to be found to be in contempt. They will right. still have to pay the money, but they will not be threatened with jail or attorney's fees.
Now, another thing I think happens when you go back to court is for some reason, even if you're going back for one issue, it opens up this whole can of worms and other things start to be affected. And suddenly now there's more issues on the table, which means more court, more money, more lawyers' times, more contention between the two of you. Don't you think? I remember I went back to court once to get $2,000 from my ex. And at that point, we did not have a good relationship at all. And looking back, it was so not a good decision on my part. I ended up spending $10,000 and then got like all this other stuff changed that I didn't even want through mediation. I felt pressured and I just wanted to be done. And then I was like, wait a minute, I just walked out with net negative $8,000 and now I don't have as good of a deal as I did. So I want to tell my listeners, like, this is, if you think you're going to go back to court, then and everything is going to get better for you, you really have to weigh everything.
Well, that goes back to why it's important to have that first conversation with your ex, because in that conversation, your ex will probably spew at you all the things that they don't like about you and what you're doing as well. And then make sure you tell your attorney all of those things. So, I mean, if I hear, well, that ex also wants to change parenting time and wants to take an extra week in the summer or whatever, I will very often say, hold it. Don't do any contempt right now. Wait until some of those things pass and then make it. I always say risk benefit. It's always about risk benefit.
Right. Well, Liz, I wish I would have known you back then. Okay, we are almost out of time, but I do have one more question that I think is very important in this conversation. So you told me that almost all of your cases are solved via mediation, right? You're not in there fighting for litigation unless you have to.
I don't know that almost all. That's just always my first plan of attack.
Okay, yes.
So,
So tell my listeners why, if you go down the road of mediation right away, why you probably won't have to worry about your ex not sticking to a court order.
Because agreements that are entered or orders that are entered when you participate in the process actively and specifically address the things you want are going to result every single time in an agreement that you can live with better than if a judge just makes a decision that arbitrarily based upon the rules of evidence and limited information and a few afternoons of court, that result will never be as good. It will never cover all the details. And there are things that judges can't address. Like a judge can't order auto insurance being shared by the parties, but you can address it in your negotiations. Also, this is why I recommend practicing parenting time. I'm a broken record, because if you are in the negotiation mediation phase, you have time to practice parenting schedules and see which one will really work versus having a judge order, this is what your schedule will be. And then you find out it really doesn't work because you don't get home in time or you don't get up in time, or whatever the case may be. So practicing parenting time and negotiations always comes up with a better result that everyone can live with.
Well, I just feel like mediation is such a beautiful thing because it puts two parents in a room who don't want to be together anymore, but who are willing to put their children first and sit down with the mediator and or your lawyers and come up with a creative, think outside the box plan that works for everybody. And as they're doing this, they learn that this is the way they do things even after the divorce, because, you know, as well as me, Liz, things in your life keep changing. A parenting schedule that worked a year ago, maybe somebody gets a new job and then they can't have their kids during the week because they're traveling. So instead of going back to court, getting another order, spending tens of thousands of dollars more, whatever it is, maybe not that much, but even any money, you know now how to sit down with your spouse, or you could even go back to mediation. It would not cost very much, and say, here's what I think for the new parenting schedule. So it's really training you, don't you think?
I absolutely agree with that completely. And I encourage people to do that after the divorce is over, because suddenly a child's in gymnastics and that changes what the schedule is for the week. Then come up with a new agreement. But I'm pleading with the listeners, get a court order that reflects the new schedule.
Oh.
Because that, and it's easy to do. You two agree, go to one of the attorneys, have them draft it and submit it. So it's part of the court record, because if you don't have that order and then you're not following it, you can be found in contempt.
Oh, okay. But I thought you said the best agreements are those you put in a drawer and never even look at them. But you're saying have it in writing anyway, and then
exactly.
Put it in a drawer.
Exactly.
So I want to close by saying this. If you're listening to this and your ex isn't sticking to a court order, I understand it can be so frustrating. It can make you really angry. It can feel hopeless, like, you know, he or she keeps doing this, and I don't want to be that person anymore who's always running to my lawyer and running back to court. And I get those feelings. So a few things. Mediation right from the beginning if you can. And if you're listening to this and it's too late, I believe it's never too late for mediation. And also, like Liz said, try talking to your ex. Put your anger and your emotions aside and really think of the bigger picture, which is what you want and what's best for your kids. What do you think, Liz?
Exactly. I totally agree with that.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be here. I really appreciate it. I think you're a great lawyer. I'm so happy that you're a Divorce Girl Smiling trusted professionals. Tell my listeners how they can reach you if they want to consult with you.
You can reach me at wakemanlaw.net. and send something to the contact on that site, or you can call me at 815-893-6800, or you can email me at ewakeman, W-A-K-E-M-A-N, at wakemanlaw.net.
And Liz, do you work in Lake County, Cook County, McHenry County, where else?
northwest suburbs of Cook County and Kane County, yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for taking time to do this.
Thank you, Jackie. Look forward to seeing you soon.
And to my listeners, if you want to find trusted, vetted divorce professionals, including Liz, or listen to more podcasts, or download my mobile app, or read articles, or sign up for my free consult, come see me at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you real soon.